the point of jumping off for today is Korech, is that Hillel sandwich, as it's known, in which it seems that Hillel, the ancient rabbi, is really coming up with probably the most obvious way to eat these foods, which is to wrap them up, put them in your mouth, and eat them all together. But we'll see that that wasn't such an obvious way of doing it necessarily once you start to play around with it. So let me share the screen. When I get to Korech, I'm always like, oh, Hillel has a fantastic proof text, which is, it says about the Pesach, al matzotu me'orim yochluhu, you should eat it on or perhaps with matzah and maror. In other words, all Hillel is doing is following what it says in the Torah to do, which is to wrap up these three ingredients and eat them all together. As we'll see in a moment, there's actually two verses that are dealing with this question of how you eat it, which are almost identical, but not 100% identical. And in that way, we get a little bit of variety of the relative value of each of the foods. So let's see. In chapter 12 of Exodus, we read, V'achlu rabasar balayla hazet, sli esh umatzot, al mirorim yochluhu. They should eat the meat. This is the meat of the Pesach sacrifice on this night, sli esh. We saw that term in the four, or originally three, questions. You're supposed to eat it fire roasted, umatzot. Sli esh umatzot, roasted and matzot, al mirorim, on bitter herbs they shall eat it, or perhaps with bitter herbs. Depends how you translate the al there. Okay, so it seems like in this verse, the Pesach and the matzah are sort of equated. Sli esh umatzot, a fire-roasted meat, and matzot with maror, which could sort of put maror in a separate category. So that's the one that we would sort of imagine you would use in thinking about the Pesach. The one that actually we quote in our Haggadah is the second one from Bamidbar, from the Book of Numbers, in which actually we're not even talking about Pesach. What we're talking about is Pesach Sheni, the makeup Pesach that you do a month later if you were impure or you were far away and you couldn't do the first Pesach for those reasons. So we read there, Bachodesh Hasheni Barbasar Yom Bein Arba'im, on the second month. So if Nisan is the first month, so this is a month later, on the second month, on the 14th day at twilight, Ya'asu Oto Al Matzot Umerorim Yochlu, you shall make it, meaning the Pesach, Al Matzot Umerorim, with or on matzot and morim. So here matzah moves from sort of headline with the tzli esh, with the meat, to now accompanying the meat, and it's sort of in the maror category. And this is in fact what we quote when we say the little liturgy right before we do Korech, which we read in our Haggadot as follows: Zecher leMikdash keHillel. This is in memory of the mikdash, of the holy place, of the temple, like Hillel would do. Ken asai Hillel bezman shebeit hamikdash hayakam. This is what Hillel would do when the Beit HaMikdash, when the temple was standing. Hayak korech, and here there are different versions. In our Haggadot, we just say hayak korech matzah umaror. Hillel would put into a sandwich matzah and maror, but that's sort of course, missing the main ingredient, which is the Pesach. So indeed in older Haggadot, we read Hayak Korech Pesach Matzah Umaror. That's what he used to do, put all three ingredients together. After all, the temple was standing, he would have access to the sacrifice. Bilchel Biyachad, and he would eat them together. L'kayem Mashan Amar, in order to fulfill the following verse, Al Matzot Umerorim Yochluhu. Just note that the verse that is proving Hillel's position is the one from Numbers, from Pesach Sheni, and not the one from Exodus chapter 12. Which sort of gets at the same idea, but interestingly enough, isn't quoted. And just, I put them next to each other so we could just see them. Mirorim Yochluhu is chapter 12 of Exodus, and Umirorim Yochluhu is chapter 9 of Bamidbar. Those are almost exactly the same, just the conjunction before Maror. But Umatzot Al is how we have it in chapter 12 of Exodus, and Al Matzot. So it's sort of almost, it's all, the four words are the same. It's just that the Umatzot is in chapter 12 of Exodus is connected to the Pesach that comes before it. And it's those two items are put together with Maror. So Maror could be of a lower status. Whereas the one in Numbers chapter 9, Al Matzotu Merorim Yochluhu, might make sense in a world in which all you're eating is matzah and Maror, and those are on the same level. But just note that it's not taken from the most obvious place. It's just a discussion from Pesach Sheni and not from Pesach Rishon, the sort of original base case Pesach. Okay, this is just the little quibbling on whether matzah is equated to the Pesach or whether matzah is equated to the Maror. But fundamentally, what Hillel is doing is eating them all together, as it says you're supposed to do. In either of these verses, it's clear all the ingredients come together, and that's how you're supposed to eat them. So how come that's not the way we actually experience eating the matzah and the maror? How come that's only a backup plan, it seems, in the way that we run our seders today? Well, of course, there's a disagreement about this. It seems in the original places where Hillel's behavior shows up that there is no disagreement. Everybody is okay with what Hillel is doing. We get a law in the Tosefta, which is, again, parallel to the Mishnah, earliest level of rabbinic history and text. Achazeret, that's the maror, v'amatzah v'apesach, leile yom tov arishon chova. It's required on the first night of Pesach to eat maror, matzah, and Pesach. This is sort of a version of what Rabban Gamliel is saying. You have to talk about them, but of course you also have to eat them. U'she'ar yamim rishut, and the rest of the days of Pesach, you're allowed to eat them, but you don't have to eat them. And then we get a testimony, Hillel azaken haya korchan shloshtan zeba zeba ochan. We get a statement that Hillel, the elder, used to sandwich them up, used to wrap them up together, one in the other, and eat them. Totally reasonable. That's sort of like the base case of how you would satisfy your obligation for Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. And no one seems to disagree with that, although it is reported not as standard, but as something Hillel used to do. So maybe there's something going on there about, well, how come we're reporting this as a practice that Hillel used to do as opposed to what everybody was doing. We get another early testimony of that. What we get in the Yerushalmi is, of course, there are people who disagree with Hillel. And let's take a look at what we see there. Hillel azaken haya korech shloshtan kacha, just quoting that Tosefta. So Hillel the elder used to sandwich them up, all three of them, Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, as one. Great, that's how you would eat it, totally normal. But then Rabbi Yochanan says, halukin al Hillel azaken. Oh, actually, there were people who disagreed with Hillel HaZaken, meaning you're not allowed to just eat them all together as the way in which you consume the obligatory foods. Rabbi Yochanan, who's living a few generations after Hillel, a number of generations after Hillel, is nevertheless saying, at the time, there were people who disagreed with Hillel. Okay, we don't get more information besides for the fact that Hillel is not the unanimous opinion here. Then the Talmud in the Yerushalmi, the Talmud says, well, hold on a minute. Rabbi Yochanan, didn't he used to wrap up matzah and maror? Like he himself would eat the way in which Hillel recommends, and presumably, even if it's Hillel as I came, if there were sort of majority against him, so you go majority rules, and you shouldn't wrap them up together, you should eat them individually. So now the Talmud's saying, well, if you're supposed to eat them individually because the majority says so, and Hillel as I can is sort of an outlier, separate opinion of an individual saying that you could eat them all together, you should eat them all together. So the Talmud asks, well, hold on, but Rabbi Yochanan, you yourself are wrapping them up and eating them together. Oh, so then they answer two answers. One possibility is kan bishat hamikdash, kan shelo bishat hamikdash. Well, maybe in a time when the temple is standing, that's when you have to really make sure to get the Pesach as a separate food experience. And so you can't wrap them all up together. But now that there's no Pesach involved because it's after the Mikdash is destroyed, so you can wrap them up together. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan is doing his practice of wrapping matzah and maror, even though he's reporting that people disagreed with the Hillel as I came when he used to wrap up all three. But then the Talmud says, no, even if you say that both of those possibilities, even if Rabbi Yochanan was living in the time of the temple, he would also wrap them up together. Well, that's because we only get a report that Rabbi Yochanan would put matzah and maror together, and two things are okay to eat together. You can actually taste both of them together. But three things, the two could gang up against the third taste and cancel it out. So you might have a situation where you have Pesach matzah and maror, that the matzah and maror would gang up on the Pesach. You would taste more of the matzah and maror than you would the Pesach. And you wouldn't get the experience of getting each of the tastes of all three foods. All the foodies can attest about how you would ideally eat food or not. Can you taste three things at once or not? Here, the Talmud seeming to say you can taste two things at once. You can't taste three things at once. So if you're working with matzah and maror, then you're good. If you're working with Pesach matzah and maror, you got to eat them separately. Okay, that's as far as we get in the Rishalmi. The Bavli has the Babylonian Talmud has basically an opposite opinion of how you're supposed to do things, and this is what's going to lead to our custom of Korech itself. So we get, we're not going to look at the whole thing, but we'll just look at the beginning and the end. Amar Avina. So Rabbi Masharsha, son of Rabbi Hanan or Rabbi Natan, said to me, this thus did, just to make things confusing, a later Amora named Hillel, in some manuscripts named Rav Hillel, so this is not Hillel as I came, but another sage who happens to be named Hillel says, one must not wrap together matzah and maror and eat them, because we hold that matzah nowadays is the oraita, is a biblical obligation, but maror is a rabbinic obligation, and the rabbinic bitter herbs will come and nullify the biblical matzah, right? So now there's a concern, even if you just have two foods, that the maror and the matzah are not of equal status in terms of their requirement, and it's possible that the very, piquant maror will override your taste of the matzah. So if all you were going to do, if your first bite of matzah was with maror, as it seems like the Israelites did when they were in Egypt and they were eating, so then you might override the taste of the matzah and that would be bad. So we have an explicit statement to say, do not wrap up these things together, even just the two of them today. Don't put matzah and maror together to satisfy your obligation. You have to eat them separately, because if you eat them together, the maror of lesser obligation is going to override the matzah of greater obligation. And then they bring in the example of Hillel and said, well, hold on, we have an example of somebody who used to put them all together. So, you know, it can't be such of a problem. And so now the Talmud finishes the discussion and says, well, since that the law was not stated either as Hillel, wrap them all up together, that's the way you should do it, or the rabbis, those who disagreed with them, said you have to eat them separately. So what do we do today? Of course, we're going to do them both, right? So first of all, Mivarecha al achilat matzah. So you say, blessed are you, God, who commanded us to eat the matzah. Eat the matzah, that's individually. Then go and bless on the maror. Who commanded us to eat the maror, eat that individually. And then you mix them together, matzah and maror, but without a bracha. You've already made the bracha on those food. Zecher lemikdash kilel. And here we get the phrase that we're going to say in our Haggadah, just as sort of explaining why we do both practices. And we even have a Haggadah, one of the famous Haggadot, the Prague Haggadah from earliest printing of the Haggadah in 1526, says, right before Korech, says, there are people who say about Hillel the Elder that he would wrap matzah and maror together and eat it to establish what said, al matzotu marorim yochluhu, to fill out that verse. And the reason for this is to tell all those at the meal that they are not adding to the mitzvot, but rather eating the sandwich because of doubt that perhaps the halacha is like that of a Hillel. Why do we do Korech? I already ate the matzah and I already ate the maror. So how come I got to wrap them up together? Well, maybe Hillel was right and the right way to do it was to wrap them up together. So I'm instructing everybody at the table. This is not a new thing we invented, but rather to be yotze on both possibilities, to be exempt on both possibilities. Either the tastes should be combined and that's how you're supposed to eat them. That's the Hillel approach and that's why we're doing that. But also we're concerned that the tastes might intermingle and that's not going to let you fulfill your obligation. And so that's why we're eating them separately beforehand. So we have another example in the Haggadah of, there were two practices. One was Hillel, one was the people who disagreed with him. And instead of choosing one or the other, we're actually going to do them both. And therefore we get the Hillel sandwich after we've eaten matzah and maror separately.